Isn't the Lord great? You know, I was just thinking, I was talking to some relatives and just thinking how neat it is to put our faith and hope in Jesus Christ. And I was at a family deal, and somebody asked me what my life goal was. And, you know, they're going around the circle, and I said, to end well. Right? Isn't that where we're at? To end well. Because Christ is in our heart. You know, in 1872, Daniel Kelly was living in Kansas and wrote the words to a song, and as soon as I say it, you're going to start singing it in your mind. Home, home on the range. Yeah, there we go. You know, it's funny because I didn't know who made that famous. It was actually Bing Crosby that made that famous. And then John Denver sung it, Gene Autry, Burl Ives, Pete Seeger, Cary Grant, Neil Young, Willie Nelson, and the list goes on and on, doesn't it? So many people have sung that. And it's actually the official song of Kansas, of the state of Kansas. And I loved singing that song when I was young, but not sure what it meant by home on the range. Now, you have to understand, I was in Western Washington where it's all forest and that kind of thing. So I can remember as a kid thinking, are they talking about our stove, you know, the range? Or I looked out and I'd see the Cascade Mountains. Maybe it was a mountain range, because Western Washington doesn't have ranges, open ranges like we have here and we see in Colorado. But my favorite part is the next line, where seldom is heard discouraging word. Boy, wouldn't you love to live on that farm? You know, I look at it, and the truth is that many of the words we hear are discouraging words, critical words, demeaning words, and downright mean words at times, and not much encouragement. In fact, sometimes encouragement can be like an Easter egg hunt. You'll find it one day if you keep looking. And, you know, Paul was headed for discouragement, so he takes action and sends Timothy to the Thessalonians to see if they still had their faith grounded in God, and then wanted to know how strong their faith was, would it survive. Because Satan can snatch it away. We talked about that last week. Or we can make wrong choices, right? I mean, when we were talking last week about Jesus, he was saying, and some seed is cast into ground where there are weeds and thistles, and it comes up, and he was talking about wealth. How many people have you seen shipwrecked in wealth, or the attempt to? And so we don't know about the Thessalonians. They hardly had enough money to eat, and they were probably preoccupied with a lot of things. And so were they discouraged in their faith? Or did they lose their faith at all? So Paul was anxious, waiting word to see if the word of God had been planted in good soil. Here's a statement that probably you've heard and I've heard before. What oxygen is to the body, encouragement is to the soul. Isn't that true? Man, there's nothing like being encouraged. And listen to our passage. I'm going to read the first part because it's pretty long, and it's the ones we've been studying, and then I'll have you read with me from verse 6. Starting with verse 1. Therefore, when we could no longer endure it, we thought it good to be left in Athens alone, and sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and encourage you concerning your faith, that no one should be shaken by these afflictions, for you yourselves know that we are appointed to this. For in fact, we told you before that when we were with you, that we would suffer tribulation just as it happened, and you know. For this reason, when I could no longer endure it, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter had tempted you, and our labor might be in vain. Can you feel that anxiety in Paul? Now we get to the sixth verse, and I'm going to read the white and you read the yellow. But now that Timothy has come to us from you, brought the good news of their faith and love, and that you always have good remembrance of us, Yeah, that was kind of a drag, huh? Okay, there we go. Let's start over. Greatly desiring to see us as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, in all our affliction and distress, we were comforted concerning you by your faith. For now we live if you stand fast in the Lord. And boy, isn't that the truth? If we stand fast in the Lord, we live. When we get shaky ground, it is hard to live and be encouraged in our faith. And so we see Paul have this need for encouragement. He needed to know that his labor to the Thessalonians was not in vain or unproductive or unsuccessful. Man, do I know how Paul feels as a pastor, because I feel the same about you. And sometimes I see in you at certain times where you're having a hard time in your life and other times when you're doing well. And we all love it when we're doing well, amen? But when we're not doing so well, life can get tough. And I watch your growth, and I'm encouraged by that. And each of you in the auditorium today needs some type of encouragement, don't you? And especially... If you've been under pressures of trials and tribulations of different kinds of things, you know, Debbie and I were the other day were talking about some distant relatives struggling in their faith, and they seem to have just kind of abandoned God's instructions, and they're trying to fit it into their own philosophy and blatantly sinning and doing whatever they can to try to feel encouraged. And man, were we disturbed by that? Listening to that. And I realized as we talked that I was getting discouraged, even listening to him, and immediately remembered when Paul said, all of Asia Minor has departed from me. Now listen, here's Paul, the apostle, sent by Christ himself to spread the gospel to a whole Gentile world. And I circled in here, this is Asia Minor here over to the right is Galatia, and we've heard those, you know, the book of Galatians. But in that, listen to me now, the Ephesians and the Colossians were part of Asia Minor and they abandoned. They had a guy named Simon the Tanner that started going against Paul and he started a big work, finally got them all to abandon Paul in that. Can you imagine how discouraging that had to be, all the labor that he did? And look at some of those names, Laodicea, the Church of Philadelphia, Sardis. It goes on, and all those places that he was able to witness and share Christ, they all kind of went south on him. And it had to be hard on him, but somehow that statement, all of Asia Minor has departed from me, is a bit comforting to me, a bit encouraging, because it happens to the best of all of God's servants, right? And you thought it was just you. So Debbie and I weren't anywhere near as discouraged as Paul might have been, but simply discouraged a little bit, thinking, why can't we reach him? Why can't we say some words or do something that we can reach them? You know, we took a day off, our day off, and we went downtown to Larimer Square, and we just decided, let's go down to 16th Street Mall and just find something to do and just spend time together. So we went down there, went to a restaurant. And as we talked, the conversation turned to Pastor Bob and Narissa. And we were talking about them. And so right in the middle of the talk, Debbie looks out the window. We were up on a second story in the building. And she looked down, and there's Bob and Narissa walking on the sidewalk. And we're like, what? And so I ran downstairs, and they kind of walked past around the corner, and I yelled, Bob! And Bob turned around, and they saw us, and they came back, and they came upstairs with us and sat at our table. And we had such a good time talking, just a good, encouraging time. And here we were kind of discouraged, and we talked together, and it became a great encouragement. And we decided after we got done talking there that we would take in a movie. We thought, well, let's go to the movies together. We'll go up to the Orchard or something. And so we went to the movies, and we watched the movie called Arrival with Amy Adams. Now, I'm not suggesting you go to it. I'm not a promoter of Hollywood. But We just thought that was the only good one. The rest of them were chainsaws and all that kind of thing. You know how it is these days. And so forget it. So anyhow, we went. And in the movie, if you've seen it, you might have seen it. But if you haven't seen it, there are these huge, fearful, octopus-looking aliens that had landed, 12 of them, all over the world. And Amy Adams' character was a linguist, a very well-known linguist, and so the armed forces got her to come and see if they could learn how to talk to these aliens and understand their language. But they were scared to death, and she was scared to death, and they certainly were scared to death to approach. But I love it because there's this scene in there where Amy Adams' character takes off all of the clothes because they're afraid of, you know, x-ray and, you know, all that kind of thing. And then she takes off all of her stuff and moves up. As scared as she is, she moves right up. There's a window there, right up, and puts her hand on the window. And they put their hand on the window. And I had this. It was a critical point for her, but she gathered up her protection, or her courage, and she moved forward, and she put her hand on that window, and I immediately had this aha moment in my life. Do you ever love it when you have that aha moment where it shifts your life a little bit? I had that moment, and I was wondering to myself, how much courage do I have to surrender God and face death, knowing that it could kill me for the gospel's sake? And so I'm sitting there, and I'm getting overwhelmed in this movie. I'm hardly even watching the movie anymore because I'm, you know, because it's hard to measure that, isn't it? You're not in the situation, so it's a little hard to measure. Would you stand up for the gospel, or would you run? And I realized that in that moment, I would face death. I just knew it in my heart that I would face death and be with Christ a few seconds later. That's not so bad, is it? Man, did that encourage my heart and soul. And how in the world can we sit in a movie, but have you ever noticed in life when you sit through a movie or you hear other things, all of a sudden God encourages, he uses anything he can get, right? And that encouraged my soul so much. I have to confess this. There's only a few of us in the movie, and I wanted so bad to get on my knees and lift up my hand and say, yes, Lord, I would do that for you for the gospel. But I was too scared, and I would have to start explaining it to everybody, you know. You know, turn around and say, hey, folks, I had a spiritual, you know. You know, it doesn't work. And so, but I can't express the utter encouragement that moment was for me between God and I in a stupid movie. And it made me realize, just like Paul, that I wanted to move forward in the gospel at whatever the cost is. And, you know, I look at encouragement, and I want to define encouragement for us, because we need to understand it's defined as imparting courage to go on. Imparting courage to go on. And a lot of times, it's almost hard to go on, isn't it? When things mount up and all these things happen in our life, and pretty soon we feel like we're worn out. And it seems like everywhere we turn, we hear the discouraging words, right? I'm tired of discouraging words. Aren't you? It's human nature to tear people down rather than to build them up. And if you're the tear-down person, you've got to turn that around for me and for the rest of us around, right? Amen? We all need to do that. So the really question is, are you encouragers? When you're around people, can they say, boy, when I'm around them, they seldom ever say a discouraging word. It takes courage to encourage. Right? What oxygen is to the body, encouragement is to the soul. Here's a trivia question. What character in the New Testament that traveled with Paul was known by his nickname rather than his real name? Does anybody know? Pardon? Barnabas, that's right, that's right. And Barnabas' real name was Joseph, but Barnabas meant, and he was nicknamed this, the son of encouragement. Whoa. He encouraged so much, they changed his name. And when Paul first met the Lord and had his conversion, the disciples in Jerusalem were scared to death and skeptical of his conversion, just like we are when somebody is in trouble and all of a sudden they have a Jesus moment and you think, is it really real? You know, are they just trying to get a lower sentence in the court or whatever the deal is? And so Barnabas took Paul with him to the disciples and encouraged them to accept him as a brother. That was the kind of person he was. What would our nickname be if people called us by our attitude and actions? What would our nickname be? Would we be an encourager, a helper, a teacher, a servant, or kindness? William Arthur Ward wrote this, and I love this statement, "Flatter me and I may not believe you. Criticize me and I may not like you. Ignore me and I may not forgive you. Encourage me and I will not forget you." Isn't that the truth? So what's Paul's application to us through the scripture that we read? Well, number one, I think it is that you may be struggling with trials, but don't give up. Be encouraged. Paul knew these believers were facing trials, and he wrote this letter to strengthen them and encourage them, but he also wrote it to us to strengthen and encourage us, not to give up. The Greek word for encouragement is parakaleo, and parakaleo is our word which is counsel or encourage. And what it means is to come alongside. So when somebody's discouraged and they're walking along, God's asking you to come aside and parokaleo them. Come alongside and talk with them and encourage them. That is a ministry he's given to us all. It's the same word Jesus used to describe the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our parokaleo, our counselor, our encourager. Do you ever think of the Holy Spirit as being an encourager? But he comes alongside us when we're going through tribulations and trials. And life is full of trials and tribulations, and we aren't exempt from trouble, but Romans tells us this, that we can rejoice in our trials. Boy, that's a hard thing to do, isn't it? Rejoice in our trials, because trials develop endurance, and endurance develops strength of character. And character strengthens our confidence, hope, confident hope in our salvation. Number two, when you feel isolated, let someone know and pray for you. Almost weekly, and I'm going to use a specific person, but Phil, I want to pick on you, okay? Probably every other time, Phil comes into my office and prays with me on Sunday morning and encourages me. He puts his arm around me, he prays for me, and he prays for a good message and prays for a good attitude and all that kind of thing. And I so appreciate that. Thank you, Phil, for doing that. What if we all did what Phil does? What if we put our arms around somebody and just pray for them? And you know what excites me more than anything is when the service is over and I see some people praying together. Doesn't that kind of get you too? Boy, I love that. And pray to encourage him. And, you know, here's the deal as Christians. When somebody says, I need prayer, don't walk away and say, I'll pray for you, because you won't. Right? As soon as you hit the menu or get home, it goes right out of your head. Stop and pray for them right then. Don't let them get away with saying, pray for me. Pray for them right then. Let's have these pockets all over praying for each other. Number three, and the final one. You may feel weak, but take heart. Others have gone through the same trials. God is the true comforter. Let me read this. I didn't put it up here because I just want you to listen to this. Out of 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 3, and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Listen, God comforts us and then we can comfort others because we've gone through the same thing. There is great power in encouragement, and I encourage you to have the courage to encourage those around you. Do you hear that this morning? Will you pray about that? Well, we're not going to let you get away with going to pray about that later. We're going to do it right now. Father, we come this morning.